citizenship in Maryberry, so you might recognize the kids there.
Thanks.
You get a chance.
While they're getting ready, I want to thank you all, you Boy Scouts, for coming and observing our actions here today, and hopefully you'll share some thoughts with us at some future meeting, all right? We have public speaking at the beginning of each of our meetings, and the first Wednesday is at 9 in the morning, and the second Wednesday is at 6 in the evening, so you think about that, all right? Thank you.
Ron, before you get started, I hope that you can make some sense of all these correspondences I've been trying to read and all these acronyms that they throw around everywhere. I hope you've got just a summary where we are type thing.
Hate to have to explain this, but if you could, I'm gonna send one set down at a time. So just pass the set along, and you'll get a set here.
This is what we have.
These are the acronyms.
Yeah. This is the glossary.
I'm afraid you're starting out ahead of schedule. That might put us behind schedule if we had to explain all of those. I apologize for giving you a lot of paper rather than having all of this attached to your executive summary, but we're trying to get...
Excuse me, Ron.
Hold on.
Give me just a second. I'm going to give some directions one more time on this. There's two letters that go together, so just pass the set down to the next person.
We'll,
yeah, we did.
Okay. Because they're pulling
the first intersection, take a right.
Two stables.
It's a letter and an update.
So Ken needs to give something to Petey, and then we'll give...
We did.
Each of you has two.
I only got one, and Larry has nothing.
Pass your one with the letterhead on it over, Ken, and then Dwayne give you that way.
You got two. Iron P split
them. There you go. Now
up.
You give yours to him, and then here's yours. Right. There you go. Now we got it. Now I'll take
one. If those two guys in the locker room, one guy ends up with three socks and one guy one, and they can't figure out what to do.
But it's funny because when you're an elementary teacher, children follow directions like that. But grown-ups, no.
I was about to say, this looks like a Washington, D.C. exercise here with passing this stuff out.
I've already.
Foo bar.
Okay.
Very much.
So I was saying, I apologize for giving you so much paper, but we're trying to get things are happening every day. Trying to give you as much up-to-date information as we can. You'll notice that one letter came from HUD this morning that you just received. We had promised to come back to you with an update and any recommendations moving forward with the crossings when we met with you in early July. As you can see from the update that I just handed out to you beginning June 19th, which was the Monday after our meeting with Deputy Secretary Maurice Jones from the D.C. HUD office, a lot of things started happening. Communication level picked up, which was good. The bad part of the communication level, it seemed like every communication they were asking for something more. Our HUD, the Richmond field office, was asking for something more. I would hope that without going through this this timeline, you get a chance to look at it. You'll see that we, very soon after receiving a request for something, complied with that request. The good news out of all of that is today's letter that we received, the Richmond HUD office finally told us that we had been responsive in giving them everything they asked for. That's the good news. The bad news when you read this letter is that there's one piece that's apparently holding everything up from moving forward any further than it's gone, and most everything has been sent from Richmond to Washington headquarters for review. So that's obviously another good piece, because we felt like things were bottled up in Richmond we know things were bottled up in Richmond for months and months. The one piece that's holding things up is the environmental review. The environmental review was conducted by the Thomas Jefferson Planning District Commission for the city of Charlottesville for the crossings project. It was certified by HUD, I believe, in late 2011. The issue that HUD had called our attention to was that we had signed our agreement with the crossings in April of 2011, and we were not supposed to sign that agreement until the environmental review was certified. We requested a waiver for that. That's a regulatory waiver which HUD can grant us. The environmental review is a statutory requirement, and although we don't know the details or the exact reasoning, HUD is having, the public housing office in HUD is having a problem accepting what the other office, community planning and development of HUD, did in the review and the certification of the environmental review. We've tried to learn what the specific issues are, so maybe we can work with the city and get them addressed, but we have not gotten any response on specific issues. The only thing that the city did receive was a letter from HUD asking for a timeline of all events associated with the environmental review. So,
just asking, yes, to understand this. Are they questioning the substance of the environmental review, or just the fact that the letter was that the agreement was signed in advance of that?
We don't know. The fact that the agreement was signed in advance is kind of a separate issue because we've dealt with that under the waivers.
Right.
But the Public Housing Division, our Public Housing Office, apparently needs to certify the environmental review, although another office in HUD has certified it. And we don't know whether it's technical issues. We don't know whether it's and technical issues would include maybe parts of the environmental review that were not done in accordance with regulations. That information has not been shared.
But your August 14 letter, where it says at the end, they say, in summary, HUD HQ is not able to address requests for regulatory waivers or review the SLR until all statutory compliance items have been determined. That's
an environmental review is a statutory requirement item.
Is that the only one they're talking about there?
That's the only one they're. Well, the subsidy land review is also a statutory item, but we knew that was something that they'd already told us would take about 2 months to approve.
And when did that 2 month period start?
We submitted parts of it in early July, submitted additional information they request for mid-July, and the city sent in additional information that had been requested from them August 1st.
We're halfway there.
So we believe,
we don't know that,
based on this letter, that the Richmond Field Office has everything that they need for the subsidy land review to be sent to Washington.
And which is it, Washington or Richmond, who has the two different divisions who are arguing over certification? Is that Washington?
Washington is the one that's questioning the environmental review. The Richmond, Office certified the original environmental
Richmond
review.
Richmond certified it.
Yes.
And that was before the rules changed with all these new people that seemed to interpret things differently than they had for the last decade or so, it seems. But will Secretary Jones be able to sort that out? I mean, is he the one who's going to sort out which of his two offices is going to get to do this?
I don't believe it's in his hands now. I think everything's in the public housing arena. Last week, and this was in a conversation with Congressman Hurt's office, I learned that HUD was looking at their legal counsel to give them advice on the environmental review. And it may entail sending HUD staff to Charlottesville to reconduct the environmental review. How you reconduct an environmental review when the building's already built is another question, but I'll leave that to them.
Well, they can look at how well it turned out, I guess.
That's correct. And make sure there are no snail darters or anything on the site over there that may be an endangered
species.
Sure,
there are photographs of the original businesses torn down. So
yes.
I think the reality is this is still a mystery.
It makes me tear my hair out, really and truly. So
we've been responsive. They've said, you've given us everything we need, but now this ER has to be done, and we don't know what's involved in that. and how difficult that is, whether it's technical, whether it's substantive.
Even though it was already certified once.
It's just, and technically the dates were different. Is that a reason to hold this thing up for the end of time? I don't know. We really need to find out now what's involved in the ER review. What's holding that up?
Would there be any value in a group of us going to Washington and setting up a meeting with them and Congressman Hurt and sitting down and talking through this?
When I spoke, I've had three conversations with Congressman Hurt's office, his D.C. office, not his local office. The first call, as I noted in my timeline, they called me. They wanted some background information and some detail. I provided it to him. We talked a little bit about UVA football, just like I did with Secretary Jones, because evidently this guy is also a UVA grad in Congressman Hurt's office. He made an offer in our second phone call, which I called him after I received the June 19th letter that had those 54 items that we needed to add to our administrative plan. I called him to let him know what was going on. He was very disturbed by it. His comment was, well, I don't know if that's a result of me contacting them or not, but it's the timing is kind of fishy. He offered at that time, he said, can we assist by Congressman Hurt setting up a meeting between you and some of your board members and HUD staff? I said, that might be something. I'm not prepared to make the call on it right now. I think that should come from our board. But if we do have a meeting, I think your office needs to be involved in the meeting, not just setting it up. And we need to have a meeting with both field office staff and headquarters staff.
Well, I'd like to see us go ahead and do that.
So, and I let him know today in an email when I forwarded him this letter that I received this morning. I let him know again that we were meeting this afternoon, and that could be an outcome of the meeting that we would want to have them assist us in setting up a meeting with staff.
The board would like to pursue that. We probably need two board members to be designated, and then what we'll start doing is coordinating that, figuring out how effectively to do it through Congressman Hurt's office.
Well, we can.
I'd like to be one of those.
I can do that. And.
Okay, so chair and vice chair.
Yeah, I think okay. That's the best. Okay.
It seems to me we still have to get answers, and it's very frustrating to everybody, obviously, and maybe this is the way that.
Well, we're getting punished even when we're behaving and not questioning, so we may as well start jumping up and down. We're still going to get punished, but we may as well start jumping up and down.
We'll work to coordinate that.
Okay, yes.
Thank you.
I'm going to be off the next few days. I'll be back next Tuesday, so we'll try to start on getting something started next week and coordinating a meeting with them.
Or sooner in his absence, we can try to move the ball forward on this.
So this is the organization that's supposed to be the advocate for affordable housing in the country.
Someone mentioned that maybe we should bring one of these folks with us to make it more real. You know, we're putting some of that in jeopardy, obviously.
Yeah.
And
that'd be a bad idea.
You think you could get through some of that?
I hate to put any of the residents through that aggravation, frankly.
During this,
we'll take Nancy with us.
It has been rather ironic because during this 18-month period, there have been at least three, maybe four, notices that have come out from HUD, really enforcing housing agencies to work in housing the homeless. And we're sitting here trying to do it, and they're. I shouldn't say they're in the way. We're meeting
obstacles.
Opposition as we move forward.
When we go to meet with them, could you include those documents?
Yes.
Thank you.
They include
the ones where they say you need to go ahead and start with the homeless and doing this and this and this, so that we can tell them we're trying. We've been trying for years.
Yeah, the timeline is compelling as well, and it is fair to say that the pace of responsiveness has picked up pretty significantly in the last month and a half to 2 months on both sides. I mean, as you know, that the county has intended to be very assertive in trying to get back to them as quickly as we can. They have in the past been less than assertive in getting back to us, and that seems to be they seem to be more timely. in their response. Not that the information that we're getting is that much more helpful.
It's almost as if they're trying to bury us in paper now and have Ron mm-hmm. have to quote chapter and verse for 49 pages out of the register or something instead of just saying this doesn't apply.
Yeah,
so.
that brings me to kind of the next step here after today's meeting. September 4th, I'll have a consent agenda for you to once again approve a revised, and I'd say revised lightly because it's almost a completely rewritten administrative plan for the project-based vouchers. It's just a chapter on project-based vouchers. It's not the 150-page plan. I'm not sending all of that to you. So look forward to that coming. You'll see that much of the four-page document that we had has been deleted, and it will probably end up being about 30 pages of new text, most of which is verbatim out of the federal regs. So.
You saw earlier correspondence from Ron where he objected to having to regurgitate this federal regulations back to them as opposed to doing it by reference. And so this administrative plan is going to do what they asked us to do.
Yeah.
So we will comply. And that that will come to your September 4th meeting on the consent agenda.
And
they do say in this letter that's a parallel issue not holding up HUD's review, though.
That's
so
correct.
This is not
that was a question I put to him yesterday and Monday in my email was whether that would hold up the review of the waivers, and he clearly said no, that is a secondary issue.
Among other things, I'm concerned as supervisor of the time that it takes for Ron to do this and keeps him from other things that would benefit the citizens of Albemarle County. But this obviously is present and urgent and needs his attention, so we will certainly continue to prioritize his time that way because it has to be done. There's an action item. I just don't want to miss sight of that on your executive summary.
Yeah, explain that to me. What you're saying is that because we had three people who were no longer in the program, there was money left over that we had budgeted, and you want to appropriate that?
Well, there are a couple things. There are three people that aren't there now that were there that we were assisting in the beginning. And we had agreed that our intent was to assist the original nine and not refill those positions. That left some money available. In addition, the money that was appropriated for last year and for the 2 months this year, there's a balance left over in that. If we reappropriate, if you agree to reappropriate what was left over from last year, that would cover us for three additional months with the six individuals. That way it gives us a little more time to do this. And, you know, as I mentioned to you back in July, it would be hard-pressed for me to come to you with a recommendation to put any more money into it, but this is splitting the hairs a little bit, asking you to consider extending our agreement for 3 months and using the money that's already been appropriated.
Well, because there's a chance that we'll get the voucher thing sorted out and everything will go as we had anticipated it was going to go from the very beginning, I'm very much in favor of extending the balance of the money.
Yeah, I don't have any problem if we're not adding any additional money to it, but there's another principle involved here with me, and that is the fact that we continuously let them off the hook. If we keep letting HUD off the hook, then what's real pressure is on them to get this resolved, get through this bureaucratic red tape that we're hung up in. If we continue to step in,
I think we're punishing the wrong people if we don't.
Well,
that's
I understand that philosophy.
And I would hope that pressure would come in a meeting that chair and the vice chair would like to attend, and we have all appropriate HUD staff there, not where we're just talking to one at a time or getting correspondence with one at a time, that we have everybody there at the same time.
Staff will prepare some talking points to get right down to the heart of the matter in terms of what we've put into this, in terms of funding and time and all the effort.
Well, I think it's essential that Ron do the talking and we're there for the muscle.
Yeah, this thing about this that has been so annoying is that they have never been exactly clear about what it is procedurally needs to be done in order to satisfy the requirements, which seem to be at times multiplying. I mean, it's one of the worst cases of substance over of process over substance I've ever seen. I mean, it's you'd think that somebody was trying to
just prevent it
steal
from happening.
Money here, yeah. Or something from the program. I mean, it's mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. I mean, with that having been said, I move that we go ahead and extend the agreement for up to an additional 3 months with Virginia Supportive Housing.
Second.
That's from reappropriated money from the previous fiscal year.
Second. Well,
before we vote, I want to make a comment on that because the point I'm trying to get to, Dennis, I think we're going to be in a much better bargaining position if we go up and tell them that if we go up and say, hey, HUD, we're going to keep taking care of this until you all give us our okay, is a much less better position than say, if you don't come up with the money, we're out of funds for supporting this any longer after this time.
We can certainly tell them that December 1st, when the 30 days is when the 3 months is up, that will be absolutely the truth. And it's the middle of winter, which makes
I'm just
it worse.
I'm not interested in taking them off the hook.
I'm not either.
My position has been at this point not to even breathe a word to them that we would consider extending. As far as they know, August 31st is it. And if we can leave it at that for right now,
I don't think
we have better bargaining position.
Yeah.
No, I don't think they are.
We'll not tell them either.
I think it's kind of irrelevant.
But this will have to come back for an appropriation, under an appropriation, won't it, or will it not?
No, not for the.
We're doing it.
Okay. But again, it's not like you're going to go in and say, well, we've extended. Why would that even come up?
Yeah.
We'll make sure that we avoid that altogether.
But you would still need the reappropriation put on Lori's report in September. I mean, we will consider that that's what you want to do, but we'll go ahead and get it through her OMB report and reappropriation request.
Well, can we do that with you withdraw your motion then?
So we're talking about not moving today to appropriate, or we
As long as it's appropriated at the first meeting in September, Ron, yeah. We're fine.
We're fine. Yeah. What I would need today is your agreement that you'd like to see that agreement extended, and the only way we can extend it is reappropriate the money. So.
We'll be seeing you in September.
Okay. Yes. We've got that as consensus from the board, and we'll bring the action back to you.
All right.
Yes.
Does he need to formally withdraw his motion or something?
You know, just as your conversation with Secretary Jones, is that his name?
Yes, sir.
Things kind of picked up, activity picked up. The fact that we're setting up a meeting to go to Washington, would that have the same effect of, you know, some people thinking, hey, we've got to get this done before we show up?
It could possibly. I mean, I was talking to Doug and Tom earlier today, and to me it's no reason that staff could not be directed at HUD to move forward with reviewing our waiver request and having a response ready to roll as soon as the environmental review is complete. I mean, I don't see a reason for having to do one thing. Well, I don't work for the federal government, but I don't see a reason that they need to do one thing before they do another. But the letter kind of indicates that's the steps that they're taking.
In Chesapeake, they actually allowed them to move forward before the SLR was completed.
Chesapeake, they approved the waivers contingent upon the environmental review and the subsidy land review being approved. I would hope that they would do the same thing for us, but we haven't seen that yet.
Come on, we stop changing the rules so that we know we can deal with the rules we know about. It's the rules that we can't imagine that make you furious. So
HUD used to be, I mean, in 25 years, this is probably the worst case of bureaucracy I've run into in dealing with HUD. Generally, from the field office staff on up through their financial management centers and headquarters, they would listen to you. If you had a rationale for an interpretation you made of the regulations, they would work with you. If you were wrong, they might slap you on the hands and say, don't do it again. But this particular process has not worked that way.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, we know what to do. Thank you very much.
Madam Chair, just for purposes of the record, I think there was a motion made and seconded. I would suggest that Mr. Rooker withdraw his motion.
I will withdraw that motion.
I withdraw my second. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks,
and we
Ron.
Will move forward.
We'll hope for
you.
Better news as we go forward.
Thank you.
Great. All right. Well, we are a little ahead of where we expected to be, so I guess we can adjourn is the right word.
Recess is the right word. The question is whether you wanted to take board comments and do that in case we have a long evening later. I don't know if that's just an option, if you wanted to take care of that now, if there's anything.
Most of the ones I have are to alert public as well, so I think I will wait on mine. But are there others, anybody want
to
share
wait.
Now?
I'd rather wait.
I think
it,
we'll
yeah.
wait there.
Did I do mine very quickly? I just had one thing I wanted to
Please,
let the
right
board
ahead.
Know about since we got a minute. You all had a very brief discussion at the last meeting about this wireless extension into the rural areas and uncovered areas. At the end of the day, that was really a request for a letter of support for an agency that's proposing to the FCC a whole new way that they give out grants, which would require a local match to help buy down infrastructure cost. So instead of just going to the private sector and saying there's a grant out here where we'll buy down your costs to get coverage in the rural areas, an outside group is proposing to the FCC that they also add that localities can match that money to further buy that down. So they're proposing a whole new way that the grant program be proposed and administered, and they want a letter of support from the county and other localities to fully consider that proposal. We've talked to the folks that have put that forward. They've just now submitted to the FCC. There's 30 days for us to put in a letter of support. We haven't gotten a copy of their proposal yet. We're in the process of getting it now because it's only just been completed. So what we're proposing to do is just bring this back to the September meeting well within that window, just to make sure their proposal doesn't have anything in it that might be objectionable to us. It looks positive. It looks like it's just another proposal on how to go about this, but it is proposing that local dollars be matched with the federal dollars, which would go to the private industry to get them to extend the infrastructure so that they can make the equation work on the revenue.
Well, this is just the private group. It sounds like it's working for the private industry to just get more money so they don't have to spend as much. And that just makes me mad.
And that's what you'll have to grapple with. But, again, if you look at what they're doing, they're going to put so much investment up front, and they've got to have enough payback to pay down their debt, if you will, for their infrastructure investment.
Or they take 20 years instead of 10 to get the money back.
This is the challenge of this whole extension into the rural areas. You can, if you run a mile of cable in the ground to get this coverage, and you only have two users to pay it back, it's not a good business equation. That's one of the reasons that the grants that have been out there in the past, the private industries have not gone for the money because they still can't make it work. So this other group has said, well, what if the localities put some money into it too? But you're right, it's buying down the private sector.
When you say
sector.
Localities, are you talking about Albemarle County.
Tax money.
Right. If a carrier provided, a private carrier filed a grant application for this money, that grant application would carry a commitment by the county to match the federal grant. So if they got $5 million from the federal government, they'd probably be looking for $5 million from the locality. Maybe they've got a $20 million project where they're saying, well, we'll put up 10, federal government's putting up 5, and the locality's got to put up 5. Right now, they apply for a grant. They get federal money, and they have to do the project. The locality doesn't match. What they're saying is the federal grant's not enough in a lot of cases right. for them to want to do it.
And the fact that they would require it by going around the locality, they could always have asked the localities to participate. But to say that it had to try to sneak around and make it part of the grant process instead really stinks.
This is an outside group
that is
supporting the
are.
Localities that want to do this. And they're saying, hey, let's put a different approach forward. And you all need to decide whether you think that's a good thing or not. Now, even supporting the approach doesn't mean that we will actually submit for any project. It's going to depend on the circumstances. But At this point, it's very preliminary is kind of my point. There is no grant that we've been – there was some confusion, I think, last week. But we can bring that back to you so you get an overview of what's being proposed, and then you can decide if you think it's worth us putting a letter of support in. But we do have a window here that gives us more time to get that information together.
And we don't know what the companies that want to expand this service, what they would actually charge. They might just say, listen, if you can come up with, you know, $500,000 and through grants or through any other methods that you have, then, you know, that'll be enough for us to move forward.
It'll be a project area specific. So in some area, if there's more density, they might need less money. If there's more density and more revenue coming back, they need less of a commitment from us to match the federal.
How much do we have in our economic development fund for?
$250
This is that's
very preliminary.
That's forgetting grants that multiply to other things. I would
support
that.
Economic development money to run residential. To provide.
Well, there's a lot
service.
Of people that work out of their home and run their businesses out of their home, so it would be a form of economic development.
I'm sure there would be benefits for the folks who would be affected, but it's this brings to mind my meetings in 2009 with Verizon over the 456 exchange, and it is a marketplace. It's give me money or else I won't do it, basically, is what this is all about, because they could have gone to the switching spot on 250 and upgraded that and been able to supply landline internet to folks in Greenwood. And they said, well, if the county will give us $200,000, we'll do it. And they wouldn't consider it as, and there are plenty of people out there. They have those people over a barrel now, and they're paying $130 a month for wireless that doesn't even work.
I think your only consideration in September is whether you want to submit a letter of support for another approach. After that, I think the board's going to have to decide whether you want to put a matching grant of X amount in based on specific project areas. If you put $500,000 in and you find out that it serves 50 people, you'll have to make a decision as to whether you think that's a good investment in taxpayer dollars. So every one of these is going to be specific. This is only creating another approach that might potentially work.
I don't really see a problem. If the money is not here's the comparison. The question is, there's $200 million left, and you got a group saying, well, how about let's try another approach to getting some of that $200 million, and we'll involve localities. Okay, that's what's on the table. The question, I want to make certain before we go to support that route, that we know that the $200 million, we can't get a piece of the $200 million without doing that.
That might make a difference.
It might make a difference.
We had talked about. So we have really two things going on here. One is we had talked about contacting Pat Groot over at TJPDC, who was very interested in working on trying to find a grant to do this. That would involve perhaps multiple localities. We join Nelson County and Fluvanna, et cetera, in those areas that are rural. It just seems to me that we ought to run the string on that first. And there may be, this grant money may not be the only grant money that's available for something like that. So I would just suggest we do that first before we
is there any time
start asking them to change the rules of the game.
30 days. For it to submit comments.
Yeah, if you want to, the proposal to the FCC will be out, has been submitted or being submitted right now, and there'll be 30 days for more information to come in to support that. So we have time for you to do that, and that will give us the time to talk to the PDC about other opportunities and so forth. So I think we're in fine shape for you all to consider this more when we've got more information, and that's the main message here is it's not even been completed the proposal that they're asking for a letter of support of, and accepted in the very recently last few days. So let us bring it back to you in September, and we'll have some more clarity around it.
I don't see it as a big deal, because whether or not we support it is going to make a difference at the FCC as to whether or not they decide to allow that.
But if it becomes a requirement, I don't want to support it. I want to work against it.
Right, if they decide to allow it, you're not foreclosed from a company filing an application in your jurisdiction just because you didn't send a letter of support in. So I don't see it as a huge thing one way or the other.
We did talk at a recent meeting about trying to get some ground truth on the service maps, and I don't know who would be the one to do that, if that's something we should
take. Get some.
We talked about how these, was it Pat who told us, or was it in one of our board meetings, and one of our IT people mentioned that the state service maps that were developed for wireless services are full of errors. And those are the maps that they use to determine your percentage of coverage and not, and which boots us out of the running most of the time, because they say we're already 95% covered or something like that. So we had talked about getting, somehow figuring out how to get the truth in those, getting our record corrected for what the service availability is in Albemarle.
Well, and that was part of the reason for trying to draw different jurisdictional boundaries involving other jurisdictions, rural areas.
Well, that was a second issue, but yeah.
To try to basically it, yeah, create a service area that was not highly penetrated.
Mm-hmm. So we'll follow up on that issue,
too. I
may need
contacting the, I mean, there are two companies here who do the work, so I guess it won't be too hard a deal to find out. They can supply.
We'll bring that back next meeting. That was all I had.
Maybe the realtor folks will be able to help us. I think they have a pretty good idea of where the service is and where it's not.
Well, I think the companies actually provide the service maps. And federal government and state governments make their maps based upon what is sent in by the providers.
You'll hear more about that tonight during things about the maps that CenturyLink does.
I wanted to get some coverage, and actually the tower is in your district, Ken, across the river from Dunlora. That bottom half of Dunlora is complaining because they don't have any coverage at all back in there. So that's a tower proposed over in your district that was turned down one time.
That was the whole Sinclair.
It was. And there's a meeting
coming
up.
It's coming back to us, though, because AT&T is putting it back up. Yeah, it's actually in my neighborhood.
Yeah, yeah. I went to Valerie Long to find out she handled the whole thing.
Well, it was approved, and then it went to the Virginia Supreme Court.
Yeah, that
was the whole basis for why we have to handle all the waivers at this level now.
All right. We will recess until 6 o'clock.
And you do have dinner in the back room here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. I go into everything.